So you're still there, right?
Hi, Bobby. You're muted.
Hello.
Oh, you're muted?
I'm
Marcia Jewell.
Marcia Jewell?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm Aaron Witten, guys. I don't know if we've met. I'm the treasurer of the district, so.
Oh, okay. Nice to meet you.
Well, hello.
Yeah. Hey, how are you all?
Good. Is the echo normal?
Are you getting echo on me on my side, or are you asking that you?
I'm asking. Both of us are echoing.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't have any echo on my ear.
Okay. If you turn down your local speakers and just a hair, if you can, that might help with that. I do a lot of video conferencing, so.
No, it still echoes.
Echoes.
Yeah. What if I leave and come back in?
You're welcome. Try that too if you want.
Okay, let me try.
Let me try.
Hey, Sherry.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Hi. No, that's bad when they know. Oh, Marcia Jewell, hi.
Hi.
You know me.
Hello?
Better?
Oh, heck no. It's bad.
Look, you don't know.
It shows that you're logged on twice.
Is there a way you can kill that connection, Tim?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Hold on one second.
It could be what's giving feedback.
Okay, do you still have an echo?
No.
Hello?
No.
No?
Good.
Hey, here you go. That's mirror for the win.
That's better. Thank you.
All right, so just in the issue of transparency, we just wrapped up our meeting with the group that's appealing, and we met with Cheryl. Sorry, can someone pronounce her last name? Because I don't.
Benitez.
Benitez.
Cheryl Benitez and Laura LaRue. And
sounds
so
like
now we are meeting with Bobby Coleman and Marcia Jewell. Was that Marsha?
It is.
And then Jewel is Jewell, maybe?
It is.
All right.
Can I make a statement real quick?
Hold on one second before we do that. I just want to state that the meeting that we're in is being recorded per guidance from the Republican Party of Kentucky. And then is this just like a brief statement or is this your actual testimony?
It's just a brief statement.
Sure, go ahead.
With Laura LaRue, I feel it's a conflict of interest because of her situation of Mitch McConnell and her position on the PAC. So I just want that for the record, that it's a conflict of interest that she was even in this hearing.
Okay. All right, so here's how we're going to proceed. So we gave them 10 minutes. We give you 10 minutes. And also, I've shared the written testimony that you provided to me yesterday afternoon with the group, so everybody has that in their possession. So we'll give you 10 minutes of oral testimony, and then following that, we will take questions from the district officers. And I'll do the same thing that I did with in our previous meeting. Just a quick recap of how we got here. And sort of what the central questions are. So as everybody's aware, earlier this year, the Hardin County Republican Party issued a vote to censure Senator McConnell. And then following that censure vote, a group also a part within the Hardin County Republican Party filed a formal appeal. About a formal appeal in accordance with rules 12.04 from the Republican Party of Kentucky. And And Rule 12.04 simply states that if there's an issue arising at the county committee level, the appeal process goes to the district committee first. And so the district committee is comprised of the second district officers, which are all present here today. Myself, Timothy Gillum, chairman, Samara Heverin, vice chairman, chairwoman, Aaron Witten, treasurer, James Victory, youth chair, and Ose Thomas, secretary. And so then obviously we have to issue a decision. There's a date in January, which is in the emails that I've provided to you guys. I think it's like January 12th, maybe, that we have to have the issue rendered by. And then at that point, if the losing party would like to appeal, they can to the state level. So with that being said, going back to the issue at hand, we're not here to debate necessarily the, you know, that this isn't about whether we like or dislike Senator McConnell. This isn't about whether we agree or disagree with a particular vote he's taken. Really, the central question that's been put to us in the appeal is the following. Under the rules, we are appealing the decision of the Hardin County Republican Party to censure Senator Mitch McConnell based on it is outside the scope of Rule 4.0, county committees and the duties of county and precinct officers. In addition, we request the Second District Committee issue a cease and desist order on and any and all actions, including but not limited to print, social media, or telecommunication, pending the outcome of the appeal process. And so Rule 4.0 within RPK rules spells out specifically the duties and functions of the our county parties. And so at hand here is the case that they're making is that the censure is outside the purview of the county party. And so with that, I will turn it over to Bobby and Marsha for 10 minutes. It's approximately 3:15. And so if you guys could wrap up, if you could give your testimony and then wrap up before 3:25, and then we'll ask questions.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm going to read it for you. Mr. Chairman and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to state our case in response to this complaint. The rule of the Republican Party of Kentucky says plainly, five precinct committee, the precinct shall be the basic organizational unit of the Republican Party of Kentucky and managed through the precinct committee. The rules go on to explain that each precinct is led by three precinct officers called precinct captains. The rules also say in 4.01, the membership of each county committee shall consist of the precinct officers and the county officers. Each of us who are members of the Hardin County Republican Party who voted to censor Mitch McConnell are precinct officers. We are the leaders of our respective precinct committee and the voting members of our county committee. On this matter, we are in the majority and we have voted twice in the majority to censor Mitch McConnell. It is our right as Americans to express ourselves when we disapprove of what our elected representatives have done in actions against our wishes. It is our right as Republicans to condemn a Republican politician who acts against the platform of our party. And it is our right as members of our Republican County Party to censure a Republican when they conspire with Democrats to weaken our Second Amendment rights. The job of the chair is simply as this definition was found on the internet. A chair is a facilitator and a servant of the group. It is important to note that in large groups such as our own, the chair does not make motions, debate them, or vote, except by ballot. Robert has special rules for small boards up to 12 people. This is plain and simple and calmly understood role of the chair. The chair is a servant of the group even when or if a chair votes. It only is one vote, like any of us. By her conduct, Cheryl Bonitas has demonstrated that she is unfit to be chair of Hardin County Republican Party. Since July, when discussion of censor Mitch McConnell began, Cheryl Bonitas has acted as a partisan defendant of McConnell. Cheryl Bonitas has been engaged in obstruction, has disseminated false instruction about the operation of the party, and has lied to members of the committee and has not abided by the majority decision of the county committee. Most glaring example of her rebellion against the majority of her own county party is the December 5th complaint slash appeal that she has made to you, the chair of our second district. In her complaint, Cheryl Benitez demands that the chair overturn the majority vote of our county committee to express our formal disapproval of Mitch McConnell, who supported red flag laws by voting the Bipartisan Safer Committees Act. McConnell's action was direct conflict with the platform of the Republican Party and is indefensible. So say we, the majority of the Hardin County Republican Party. Cheryl Benitez's response to this call the precinct captains and her county committee extremists. She wants to muzzle us, and now she wants you to muzzle us. She has acted with malice and in anger towards us, and three examples of the expression of that anger in the evidence that we have presented to you. On one occasion, when we attempted to deliver her to the document, she locked us out of the county office. She stood outside the door. We stood outside the door. She stood inside the door and told us that she would not let us in. She ignored for months a signed petition, asked for a special meeting of our county committee. She actually had the audacity to call a special meeting for another purpose, subsequent to our petition for a special meeting, and holding her special meeting before meeting that we asked for by petition. Her defense was simple. She is the chair and she can do whatever she wants. Most recently, in November 29th meeting, when we ratified the censure taken in August, Cheryl Benitez declared that she was resigning as a chair and stormed out of the room in the midst of a meeting. Why? Because she was angry? She had behaved in that matter as a chair of our group. She acted as partisan in a debate and acted throughout the majority through procedural tricks. When the majority finally voted to ratify our censure, she stormed out declaring her resignation. Once again, you could count on the fourth example of her malice and anger, this complaint appeal, which she has made to you. It is our view that Cheryl Benitez is unfit to be chair of our county committee. If we had it to do it over again, she would not even be elected chair of our committee. We think her conduct amounts to malfeasance, and she should be removed from office. We do not accept her decision to withdraw the resignation of November 29th. In order to guide the second district chair and those who are hearing the appeal, we have sought to gather together the documentary evidence that we have obtained testimony from who has witnessed events surrounding this matter and organized the material so that you can follow it simply as possible. This has been very difficult job given the short time that we have had to prepare for this meeting. Our question is, has Cheryl been done the same? Has she been transparent with you? Has she produced all the documents in her possession in relation to this matter? We have produced emails authored by Cheryl Benitez related to obstruction of holding a special meeting, documents she authored. We have produced documents she authored canceling meetings. Has she produced those same documents? This is all evidence who has really been going, what has been really been going on. In her letter of complaint, Cheryl Benitez said, the initial idea of censoring Senator McConnell came as a surprise to the leadership and passed with majority 18-6 vote on August 8th. But when there was no specific verbiage of the censure until a special meeting to consider the censure was held on Tuesday, November 29th. In that one sentence, we have two malicious lies. She stated that she was surprised by the meeting on August 8th. She gives impression that she was ambushed. That is a SERB. A simple review of documents that existed before the August 8th meeting and the attempts to get her to put the matter on the agenda for August 8th were proof that she is lying to you. She knew precisely what we wanted to vote on in the meeting, and she was acting from the beginning to keep it from happening. She states that she would have no verbiage before November 29th meeting. The fact is the committee was struck on August 8th to put our complaints into a censure resolution and have a completed job by the September meeting. Cheryl Benitez was informed of this. At no time did she ask for a copy of that resolution. During the period of September 1 to November 29th, Cheryl Benitez acted to obstruct holding a meeting to ratify the censure resolution. Frustrated with her behavior, we were forced to produce a signed petition to hold a special meeting. Cheryl fought that. Unfortunately, Cheryl was not alone with her efforts to stop us from having that meeting. Cheryl sought and received support from her inexcusable behavior from Hunter Whitaker, who advised her and us that Cheryl could ignore our petition for a special meeting for as long as she wanted, Whitaker said that there was no time limit for her to respond to our petition. Is that a really fair reading of the rules about the petition to hold a special meeting? Laura LaRue was involved. Laura LaRue told us that there was no need for a special meeting, as August 8th, 2020 meeting was all that was required. Why this effort to silence us? Was it all to protect Senator McConnell from criticism? Is it Senator McConnell who worked for Democrats to pass their anti-gun, pro-red flag legislation? Is it not us who departed from the platform for our party? He did. And Cheryl Benitez has done as much defending Senator McConnell every step of the way to shield him from criticism by the majority of the county vote. Where is the thanks we deserve for standing the Constitution against the Democrats and Senator McConnell? Where is the thanks we deserve on defending the Republican Party platform? Instead of thanks, we are labeled extremists. Instead of the chair who is a servant of the county party, we are faced with obstruction and deceit. Having lost the Democratic vote, Cheryl Benitez wants you to muzzle us. She wants you to decide we are breaking the rules. This is completely unbelievable. Are you really going to go along with this? What we ask that you affirm our right as a county party to express our views when the majority vote to do so. What we also ask is that you examine whether or not Cheryl Benitez should be moved as chair as a result of the evidence of malfeasance. She has already publicly resigned, and we simply ask that you uphold that resignation. The evidence, if you carefully consider it, supports our position. We remain available to answer any questions or to comment further. Thank you for your time and consideration on our case. Are you guys there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm done reading. I'm sorry.
At least, you know.
Do you want to add anything,
Marcia? I've got a question. So, this is about the censor and appeal, but you guys are also, I guess at your next meeting, you want her resignation to hold, and if it doesn't, you guys plan on voting her out. Is that my understanding?
Eventually, yes, sir. Under the rules, I don't have it in front of me, but under the RPK rules with the 30-day notice.
Oh, okay.
This. If you look at all the evidence, you would see that we have tried from July 1 till current. I don't know what happened, what changed her mind, I have no idea, but it has been a challenge from the get-go. And to lock the committee out of the headquarters, you know, I do have all this on video. All we did was take the original signed copy of the petition to her, and she rushed into the headquarters and locked all the doors, and we had to slide the petition through the glass doors. You know, it's ridiculous to treat the county committee this way. You know, and we did everything proper. You know, we reached out to her and said, hey, let's Hardin County censor Ms. McConnell. And she said, well, okay, but I'll put it on the agenda in August when we have a meeting. You know, so every time that we've reached out to her, none of this is a surprise. So,
can I add something here? I believe it's in the first email. When we asked for it to be on the agenda, Cheryl even says that, for her words in the email, it is something that we need to discuss as a group. So it wasn't a surprise. She agreed that she wasn't going to discuss it at the meeting, and then the shenanigans began of how to block the censure. The other question I have is, how can they appeal the actual censure? Because that was voted on August 8th. And you have a time frame to appeal the original censure. It's something like 7 days. Now, if the appeal is for the language of the censure, that I can understand, because the appeal was made 7 days, within the 7 days, when we had the meeting on the 14th of November.
29th.
What is it?
29th.
The 29th. I'm sorry. The 14th was our regular meeting. The 29th.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so, ladies, I know you guys obviously have some strong feelings about the leadership there in Cheryl, I want to go back, though, and ask you if you just could expound upon, because what we're trying to figure out here today as this body is whether you as a local party have the right to censure Senator McConnell. And that's what I was really missing from your statement. It was a lot about how you didn't like the process. But can you kind of help illustrate to me what you, what your opinion, and based on the RPK rules, gives us as local party members the right to execute a censure?
What is the word I'm thinking of about the... Oh, okay, because you look at 5.01, Section A, Precinct Committee Officers, Precinct Captain. In the very last of the second to last sentence, it says, and address voter concerns. So my argument is, when we went door knocking, when we worked boots, when we were on the community handing out brochures, I would say 95% of the time, because we're talking to Republicans, were complaining and said Mitch McConnell needs to go. So I feel we were addressing the voters' concerns. That's all we're doing. Is this is not just our 28 people, it's the voter concerns. It was a very big concern. And how can we get rid of Mitch McConnell? And that's probably what started us doing this, because we started soliciting before the primaries. We started soliciting January before the primaries.
Okay, thank you for the answer.
Stupid dogs.
I want to make a side comment here to you ladies for the thorough documentation and the timeline of things. Right, because obviously as district officers, we're volunteers too, right? And that, at least in my, that helped to give me some context, right, to why the complaint was filed, how it was done. You know, like I actually read through all that last night, and it was helpful to put some meat on the bones a little bit about why this came, because obviously we all work for a living, and you know, we don't get paid by RPK to sit here and read all this stuff, but I actually did appreciate your all's thorough documentation.
Well, thank you.
Just to bring me up to speed.
A lot of hours to prepare that. So thank you for at least...
No, and that's why I'm recognizing it. I appreciate the thoroughness of your filing, so...
Is there... there's also another thing, too, you know... there's nowhere in the RPK rulebook that says we cannot censor a candidate. So how can you just make up something that you may not agree with? You know, we know they don't agree with it because they didn't vote for it. But, you know, this 40-page book right here, there's nothing in there that states we, as county committees, cannot use our First Amendment right and censor a politician.
On that question, what was the date of the first vote to censure? Would have been on what date?
The first date that we meant to vote. It was August 8th, 2022.
That was in August.
Mm-hmm. Did she censor somebody?
And so, one of the things that I struggle with are that certainly something that I've given consideration to is the role of the county party in supporting our candidates. And so, you know, if you look at the rules of the Republican Party of Kentucky, in the preamble, it talks about loyalty to candidates should be the only qualification for holding any position within the Republican Party of Kentucky. And so, hypothetically speaking,
That's sad.
Could you imagine if we go back 2 years, August 9th, 2020 or thereabouts, Senator McConnell would have been on the ballot. Do you think it would have been appropriate for the Hardin County Republican Party to censure a candidate who, by RPK rules, were bound to show loyalty to?
No. I don't think I'd censure a candidate.
That would be a candidate, though. You wouldn't censor a candidate. So, I guess I'm not, because we supported our candidates. We went door to door. We went parades.
We supported Mitch McConnell.
You know, and in 2020, we supported, well, I wasn't involved, so I can't say, you know, we. But if we were involved in 2020, we would have supported McConnell. In 2024, I don't know if I'll have that same answer or not. I don't know. I'm just being honest. But when is it time?
In other words, if Senator McConnell was on the ballot in 2022, you're saying that you would not have been supportive of a censure resolution against Senator McConnell in August of 2022 if he were hypothetically on the ballot?
I would still support a censure for Mitch McConnell because Mitch McConnell is not standing with the Republican platform.
Acknowledging that would be in contradiction of RPK rules.
Even though RPK rules has a platform that McConnell keeps going against? I mean, where do you draw the line there?
Now, I would say, let me interject. I don't know if I would censure Mitch. So that is an option as Americans, that's something that can be discussed and that our Hardin County GOP would be something that, you know, I'm being hypothetical because I never even thought of doing this before, and whether there would be maybe, I'm just thinking at the top of my head, who I feel, there would be a discussion and we feel like we maybe wouldn't put in 100% support for Mitch McConnell. I don't know if we would have, as a group, would say anything. So that's a hypothetical. And I can't, you're speaking for, we're just two people, you know, of 28.
I think Timothy froze. Baby, can you shut those dogs down?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. You go ahead. I had a follow-up, but you finish your train of thought.
Would you all accept the notion that our primaries are an opportunity for our voters to vet and then select who our candidates that we're going to support are going to be?
Yeah. Yes.
And then another question I have is, would you all consider Senator McConnell a formal member of the Hardin County Republican Party? A formal member?
A formal member? Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a formal member.
And on what basis would you consider him a formal member?
Because he's registered as a Republican Party and he's in the Senate as a Republican.
Is he a member of the Hardin County Republican County Committee? Because that is what comprises the Hardin County Republican Party.
Not necessarily. Okay.
So
the committee is the precinct people. And
they're the voting members.
Now let's go back. If Cheryl, if we look at our the rules, Cheryl can't vote, or she's the chair, so she's the facilitator. Therefore, she doesn't vote unless there's a tie or we need 2/3 vote. Okay, I lost my train of thought there. Would Mitch McConnell be a voting member? I don't know. I would almost think he's out of that. There's, I don't know, it's more important.
Can you explain how he would be a voting member? I guess we're not seeing how he would be placed in that as a voting member.
Well, I'm not suggesting that he would. I was just trying to get your all's opinion on the question.
Well, okay, why are we going here if we're discussing just the censure and whether there should be a censure or not? Now we're discussing Mitch McConnell.
Well, what I'm getting at is I'm trying to, the heart of my question gets at to whether or not the censure is within the purview. So that's at the heart of the question.
Okay, and my argument is because we are speaking the concerns of our voters, which is in our job description.
And the platform of the Republican Party, Senator Mitch McConnell went against that.
Ms. Chairman?
Yes.
I have two questions because they have alluded to the platform, and the platform set by the Republican National Committee is typically done on an annual basis. So which one are you referring to? I mean, what is the, because you're saying platform, what exactly are you referring to?
The red flag laws, the Second Amendment right, our Constitution. To me, in my view, voting on that is going against a Republican platform. It's to protect, you know, our Constitution, the Second Amendment, is to protect us and our Constitution. The red flag laws does not protect our Constitution.
Okay. I just didn't know if you were referring to something that specifically, because typically during the nominating period and things like that for the president, they do put out, here is our national agenda as a Republican Party. So I didn't know if you were referring to something like that the Republican National Committee put out. But I did have a secondary question that kind of leads to that. And this is kind of like what Timmy asked you rhetorically. This is just philosophically. If we are to side with you guys on this petition and let this hold, my general concern is, where does this end? Because this is a specific issue that a group of conservative Republicans thought was a bridge too far. But that really comes down to it, is where does this end, and how can we function as a party if every time somebody does something we don't necessarily agree with, we move to censure?
I don't know that answer. But if you look at the party as a whole, like the RNC, they censored Cheney, Kitzinger. I mean, I'm not sure how to answer that question, because as a Republican Party in our Constitution, you know, that's what we got. That's what we got to stand for, is our Constitution, you know?
I would think we're intelligent enough that not every whim, that everything that happens that somebody does and we don't like it, we're not going to vote to censure.
Hey, quick question. When is the next meeting?
January 9th. I was going to say November.
So, ladies, when you're saying that, could you also provide a list of other counties that have moved to censure, not only McConnell, but I know many of these other counties have censured other elected officials as well, but they weren't all over the red flag laws. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm asking you a question that I'm really trying to debate here myself, because I feel like it's the core of it, is this was y'all's issue that you really cared about.
Pull that website.
It's not a matter of intelligence, it's a matter of subjectivity and what everybody, every county on a county-by-county basis actually is concerned with. So, I mean, what do you think should be the rules and the guidelines in place for what rises to the level of a formal censure?
The little kid in the background, I only heard part of it. Are you asking me how many censored them?
what if you were to come up with the rules and have the magic wand kind of theory, what would be the criteria for what should allow for a formal censure of an elected official?
When a candidate... The Constitution. When the candidate goes against our Constitution, that is 100% going against the Republican platform. You know, we are a republic... we are a constitutional republic. We have to defend our Constitution or it's going to be gone. And we, as voters... vote these politicians in, you know, thinking that they're going to stand for that policy as well. Now I know on the website, the censormitch.com, there is, I think, 10 already on there that has the resolutions.
The documents themselves.
The actual copy of the resolutions. Some of them, we're still trying to track down the resolutions out of the list of all the counties that have done it. And on that website, it states all of it for that red flag bill. And then at the bottom, it shows when McConnell was censured back in January of 2021. But,
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Bobby and Martha... Marcia, sorry. Mm-hmm. What does censuring do? Like in your opinion, what does the censuring do?
It expresses our dislikes,
disapproval
of his actions. You're practicing your First Amendment right by censoring somebody.
That's all. I think that's just voicing our right.
You know, kind of like we're, your voters are unhappy. You know, your constituents. It kind of just like a slap on the hand. You know, kind of wake up. You know, I don't know. It's.
Can I ask a follow up, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, you may.
So. I guess what my thought is, or what I'm trying to understand is, what it's kind of back to the point of, is the censure the right thing? Why not send a letter as a personal individual letting him know that you're unhappy, just like anyone can do, just to let them know that you're unhappy. I guess as looking at the amount of, there were 26 people that voted, were there 18 in favor of the censure?
Back in August, there was 18. It was 18-6. Then in November, when we approved the language of the censure and to put it on the Facebook page and newspaper, it was 24. So we grew in numbers. They grew in numbers too. But back when it was 18-6, the running candidates didn't vote.
I guess my concern is that I think that it is appropriate for a citizen to explain their displeasure with the votes that someone takes. I think that's absolutely your constitutional right. I guess I'm concerned that the number, I guess probably Hardin County could have up to 200 voting members. With chairs, vice chairs, and youth chairs that are active voters and precinct captains. And so is 24 people an actual representation of the entire Hardin County party? Is my thought on that. So I just kind of want, that's why I was asking, members. To be transparent, is what is your all's thought of what a censure actually does? So thank you for answering that.
Samantha. There are
Samara,
excuse me. She called me Martha. There are 53 members of the Hardin County Republican Party right now, which is probably double of what it was 2 years ago. And believe me, we have called We are a calling campaign. We have a group of about 15 people that anything that we disapprove of or think that we need an opinion, we're on the phones. We were on the phones all day yesterday and last night. We write letters. And the response you get on a letter is a canned response that, thank you for your concern. If they don't even address. So there's a point when to say we have to make a, sometimes, not all the time, but we have to make a stand as Republicans, of voting Republicans, that to say, this is not what we understand a Republican is. This is not what we understand what we voted for, voting this Republican into the, to be our constituent. And it's just a little bit stronger slap on the wrist. And like I say, these wouldn't be frivolous. I don't think we have any frivolous, oh, I don't like what he did yesterday, so let's do a censure. Yeah.
We take it much more seriously.
Yeah.
to me, when you do a censure, you know, you have to, like in, let's just say 2021 in January, you know, did we all disagree with him standing up there? Sure. Was it his First Amendment to stand up there and say what he wanted to say and how he wanted to say it? Yes. But when you go past that on our Constitution and you step over, now my husband, he is a retired soldier, you know, so that red flag law, that right there is, you know, that to me is a slap in the face that my husband served 26 years for. And, you know, if the neighbors get a little mad at us, they can just report us in and then come take our guns, you know, if we're out there having a little argument. But, you know, so.
And I understand. Well, Go ahead.
The one comment I'll make, and you guys can respond if you'd like. You know, as I hear the discussion, I keep going back to two words, subjective and objective. And when we talk about the constitutionality of certain issues, that's a very subjective area. We start talking about, well, I talked to my neighbor or I talked to so-and-so at the restaurant last night and they're unhappy with this person or with this decision. Those are very anecdotal, subjective areas of conversation. But we do have one thing that's objective. And that is our elections. And so, you know, like when you look back at when the last time Senator McConnell was on the ballot in 2020, for the primary in 2020, he won 79.9% of the vote in Hardin County. And then in the general election, he won 56.1% of the vote. And so this kind of goes back to Samara's point about 26 members of the Hardin County Republican County Committee voting to censure McConnell over what I would say, regardless of, you know, not to debate the issue, but regardless, it's a subjective sort of, it is a subjective view on an issue that somehow what Senator McConnell did in Congress violated the Constitution. It's fine to have that point of view, but it is subjective because different people have different takes. And so I worry that as a county party, if county parties start to go down these subjective avenues of deciding, you know, when something is appropriate and not appropriate, or when something is constitutional and not constitutional, I think it becomes a very sort of dangerous area, because I think it detracts from what a county party's central mission is, and that is to support our Republican candidates. And so, I just go back to that subjective and objective. I think we're dealing in a lot of subjective areas right here. But objectively, Senator McConnell was resoundingly nominated by Hardin County Republicans the last time he was on the ballot with nearly 80% of the vote.
But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. What he's doing now, he wasn't doing necessarily then.
Well, it's not perfect, but, you know, we're not on the ballot every year. Or they're not on the ballot every year.
And
just thoughts I have.
Okay.
And the objective, as Marsha was said earlier, when we went door to door knocking, you know, for the candidates that were running for 2022, we heard a lot of complaints of McConnell.
And I would say over 79%.
So this wasn't just subjective, you know, out for dinner in a movie or, you know.
Yeah.
This is an overall conversation that Republicans have. And if you look at all the polling, it shows you he has 7% approval rate. So where did that support go from 2020 to 2022?
Well, that's just, it's getting back to, does it say we cannot censure anyone in the rules? We are, what are we doing to the, I can't even think of the word. We're addressing the concerns of the constituents, the concerns now of the constituents, okay? We want to keep the Republican Party together. You know, we're in there, when you're talking to somebody at the door, and they go, why should I vote Republican? Look at Mitch McConnell, yada, yada, yada. And we're saying, no, we need to stay and vote Republican. We give our pros for that. But I think it's some time to say, hey, look, this is what's happening. And I think as a precinct captain and part of the committee, we should have the right to do this. And again, it shouldn't be frivolous. And if you want to write, they want to write something into the rules to say we can't do it, or you want to write something in the rules, this is how you do it, that's an objective that...
Aaron, do you have any questions?
I don't think I do. I mean, I've got comments, but I don't... They're not well formed at the moment, right? So I think I might pass at the moment. If other officers have questions, maybe it'll come to me here in a second. I'm grinding on something. So,
can I ask one thing? Is with the censoring being done in August of 2022, and the appeal was done in December 5th. She's way past the 7 days that the rule says in 12.04, I think it's
it's a fair question, but I mean, and so it's my understanding that the censure that passed in August, was there a resolution attached with that vote?
No, but there was a motion for a committee to write the resolution and meet at our next September meeting to read the resolution. That's why you'll see a bunch of email traffic telling her we're done with it, put it on the agenda so we can read it, you know, and so on and so on. I mean, you have 57 pages of documents that, you know, instead of her appealing it in August, she chose to avoid it.
But there was another vote in November, right?
The language.
The November motion was to accept the language of it as written and to put it on the Facebook page and put it in the paper at GOP funds. So then that went into a discussion, and then that motion was amended if the funds could not be used under GOP, that we passed the hat. That motion was approved. So two motions was made for November 29th. And then the one motion, two motions actually on August 8th was to amend to put it on the agenda, and one to approve that we censor Senator Mitch McConnell.
Oh, say, do you have anything?
Not really. Butler County, we censored him 2 years ago. We were the second county. I had Jews. And I had to build Laura LaRue. I had to do everything by the rules. And with the rules, I got everything passed and didn't have any issues. I'm not going to pick sides. That's all I can say on it. I don't have much to say on it. But we've already got like 20 counties that censored it.
Aaron, anything before we wrap up?
I think I'll discuss more in the committee, but I want to get the timeline straight, like, more than anything, right? The original resolution was voted on in the regular order, the motion to censure and to form the committee, right, let me get it straight, was made August 8th in the regular order business meeting of Hardin County.
Yes, sir.
Right? Okay, because I got the minutes of that. I was looking for it, and I was like, well, I'll just ask, right, because I can verify it later. Committee was formed. Resolution was written
within 2 weeks.
Time, whatever happened and meetings didn't occur, you eventually called a special meeting, right? That special meeting was held on November 29th, correct?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
And it passed, you had quorum, all that other stuff, and then the appeal come in. What was the official date of the appeal? Somebody help. That was what I was looking for.
December 5th.
Do you have the original?
December 5th.
December 5th. Okay. That's the timeline is probably the most important part, in my opinion, of the entire testimony. So I appreciate you all clarifying that. I mean, again, your documents were very helpful to me in laying out a timeline. But that being said, I read them at like 12:30 last night. So I'm a little fuzzy on the actual date. So we get the fact right. So thank you for laying that out for us. So
you're welcome.
If you agree with the appeal, will you explain why? And will in that language say which I assume part of the language would be it doesn't say in the rules you can censor. Will censor be mentioned?
One second. I was just looking up. I was verifying the date that the decision needed to be issued, which is actually January 1st, because that's 10 days from today, which is a lovely.
Yeah, it's been lovely to do all
that. Yeah. So, scheduling.
To answer your question, yeah, so a decision will be rendered by January 1st. I can't say one way or the other what will be in the decision, because I don't know what we'll decide to do. But it'll be a written decision. And there is the possibility that we may follow up with you guys with additional questions if needed. And so just be prepared for that, although I can't say that that's going to happen other than it just might happen. And then, of course, after the decision is rendered, whatever party is the losing party has the ability to appeal to the state level. So that's sort of the timeline of things after this.
And is that a 7-day as well?
That's a good question, and it's one that I don't have the immediate answer to.
It's under 1204.
Because once we issue the decision, we're more or less wiping our hands up. So that'll be...
Gotcha.
Set up to the state and follow up with them. So,
10 business days. I'm looking at it right here.
10.
It's section 1204, subsection E, paragraph 2. Be very good. Just in case you. Because I've had it open looking up some of these timelines during the meeting, right? So, yeah, if that's helpful to you.
All right. Well, I think we'll conclude the meeting. Officers, if you guys will stay on. And then Bobby and Marcia, we appreciate your all's testimony. We wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And again, a decision will be issued no later than January 1st.
Okay. Via email, sir?
Sound good? Will we email you the decision? I think so.
Okay.
But I'll double check with RPK to... I don't know if...
Again, it goes back to that previous comment about all of us being volunteers, right?
It goes to pull this book out lots of times.
It'll either be directed to an email directly to you, or I'll email it to RPK and then they'll email it to you all. I'm not sure, but one way or the other, it'll be emailed to you.
Okay.
All right, thank you all so much.
Well, thank you, and thank you for giving us time to do this, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We've removed. You were removed.
What do you think?
I think it went good. I really did. I think it went good.
Told said too much, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, you think so?
That's
yes.
Yes, that's the game they play. They get you to talking. Because if you talk long enough, you're going to make a mistake.
Right.
You're
making mistakes.
That's a matter of opinion.
I didn't catch any.
Why are we talking about him being part of the...
So you're